back up to 1 Corinthians, and so thankful for last week's study, the revelation that continues to go on in Christ. I'm so thankful. There's no new truth. It's just the light upon light that God continues to bring us into. He that wills to know will know. Pray we always have a heart like precious Joshua. Oh my, even as an old man, there's more land to walk through. Think of all the things that brother saw too. Oh my. You know, you talk about some, oh, I've seen it all. He didn't. He said, there's more. Hey, let's get up and go. Let's go early. I mean, when Caleb's dragging you around, you know, you got to get going. You got guys like that out there. What a brother to have, both of those two fellas, and all the ones that loved the Lord so much at that time. They're blessed, just like us. Praise be to God. Now, we realize that in Christ, last week, there's babes in Christ. Yes, there are. Matter of fact, the majority of God's precious people. Our babies, and that's not my opinion. That is the Word of God. When you see the ones, and we read, and we're so revealed in that a child in the Lord, as it reveals in Galatians 4:1, will always remain a servant. They'll always have a servant mentality, okay? And it'll say you'll find that. Repeated over and over in the Word of God. I mean, why was the Lord getting... He did. He had to get after Martha, didn't he? And I'll tell you what, she was the server of servers that night. She even had in the house, serving along. But God had a better part. Christ had a better part. And said, honey, I appreciate your serving, but now I don't anymore because you're bothering the best part. Do not bother her. We're in love. You can go serve, but don't bother love. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that serving doesn't include love, but I'm talking first love. I'm talking about that drawing nigh and fervent love to kiss. And she was so in love, she was kissing his feet. And, you know, so I get into that, and then you'd get embarrassed and leave here in a minute. But there's babes in Christ, and there's fathers in Christ, and fathers speak one way. They speak of Paul's ways in Christ. Okay, go back and listen to that on Wednesdays. Fathers in Christ speak one way, and they speak in the remembrance of Paul's ways in Christ. How do we know that? Well, as last week we were encouraged, Paul was encouraged to send a minister back to the church of Corinth. And he says, okay, I'm going to send you a father in Christ. He's a young man, though. His name's Timothy. And I'm going to send him to you. And the reason I'm sending him to you is because he's going to bring you back to the remembrance of my ways in Christ. And it couldn't have been any more clear. I rejoiced. We saw there, I think in chapter 4, I want to say the 15th verse, but somewhere in there, it says there was 10,000 instructors. I had to go back up and look back again what that word instructor means. And this is exactly what it means. It means a guide for boys. And that is the absolute truth. Does that just not grab you? There's 10,000 instructors, guide for boys in Christ. But if you want the Father, if you want to be the remembrance of Paul's ways, it's going to be Paul's gospel. So, thanks be to God in that. So with that faith, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to rejoice in what power and glory is all there for us by staying in Paul's gospel, by growing in Paul's gospel or Paul's ways in Christ. So let's go ahead and, let's go 1 Corinthians, and let's go ahead from the 26th verse. Chapter 1, sorry about that. I'm having a little trouble with my eyes, so just give me a second here. Thank you, Lord. Okay. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of this world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And there it is in verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I love that. Think about what that just said. Of him, in him, made unto us. If you really look those words through about made unto us, it also means he made us as. And that's the truth about the truth. When in Christ, if you'll grow up, you'll grow up like him. The word of God didn't just say let a mind that was like Christ be in you, or get a mind that might do what Jesus might do. Jesus said, let this mind be in you. This is also in me. That's what the word of God tells us. Brothers and sisters, in Christ we encompass all of him. We can grow up into Christ in all things. Amen. Not just parts and pieces and all of that. He wants us to grow up, as we read how many times over, and especially probably the last 5 years, in that measure, stature, and fullness of Christ. Praise be to God. We weren't just second-class sons. We have the one life. And he wants us all to grow up into that fullness of his Son. And it is his Son's life that's in us. And I thank God for it. But see, he was made for us just like we were made for him. Or we can say we were made for him and he was made for us. And what I mean by that is it's a love story. That word made even means in this verse, ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made. That even has a theme of marriage. We've been made in that marriage, he's been made unto us. And I thank God, it's like, how much will we really receive from this? What is this encouragement of this marriage that Christ has called us to? What will we take from the headship, this husband, by submitting to this great love in all this wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? Will it become that fullness? And speaking of what we just quoted here a moment ago, if you go to Ephesians 4, let's begin reading from verse 12. Think about how it brings it out there. Paul speaking again to those wondrous Philadelphia saints at Ephesus. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That means complete, fully finished, grown unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Nothing lacking. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Praise be to God. What a fullness this is. What a completeness. What a perfecting this is that the Lord has called us into. And what's so beautiful about our text tonight is these four glories that we have before us: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. See, may we really understand this. Not only does he supply this, that we have every natural need and every concern in life completely met in that. See, if you really analyze and think about wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, there isn't anything else. You can't fit anything else of your life in that. That's everything. Because he's all in all. You have it all. Praise be to God. Every need, every concern of even your natural life is right there. But there's so much more, praise God, in the fulfillment and the completing of the bride that is in that. That is made unto us. And I thank the Lord for this. That's made unto us in these four glories. Each one of these four glories, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, are perfectly made manifest in each one of the four living ones that you know of and we read of and we rejoice of in Revelation 4. And tonight we're going to go into each of these and see how each glory is manifest in each one of those beasts. Praise be to God. Let's turn on over to Revelation 4, 6, and 7 so we can get this into our hearts and see what this is laying out for us. Now, as we start here, we know in the fourth chapter of Revelation that the trumpet has just sounded, all right? It's so wonderful. John looks, and behold, a door is open. The door of heaven is open. Praise be to God. And that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a company that's going to come right out of here. Amen. And see, in the fourth chapter, you're going to see that company that comes out of here. They're going to be the ones that are in the midst of the throne. Praise be to God. They're this company that's represented in the four living ones. I think it's kind of interesting when you talk to people about the four living ones. You know, they a lot of times don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm talking about Christians, you know what I'm saying. And sometimes if they know about, well, you know, those are spirits, that's figurative. And everything. Let me tell you something. They were redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Let me explain to you once again, the only thing that can ever be redeemed is a soul in man. That's how God did that, okay? So we know that the only way you're redeemed is by the blood, amen? And we know that that blood was shed for who? For all men. And it was shed for all the sin, praise God. So we know that these four living ones, it's a company of saints. Praise be to God. And thankfully, you see that this trumpet blast has happened. And this is the very first company that you see right at the beginning of the tribulation. The church age is done at that time. Boom. That time of getting ready for the bridal company, it's no more. It's over. All right? So in the fourth chapter, you have the bride that's taken up. You see them, and as we'll read about them, they're in the midst of the throne. They're ruling and reigning jointly. Praise be to God. Surrounded by 24 elders, which I love. Studied that many times, the full overcomers in the Old Testament. They're waiting with the bridegroom right now. They're his friend. And they're waiting, it says in the word of God, for the bridegroom's voice. Isn't that awesome? And that bridegroom's voice, there's nothing that makes them more thrilled. Well, there wouldn't be than to hear Jesus, but especially when he's calling his wife home. How glorious. Now, you understand if the ones that have kind of studied this out in different things, you have to get all the way from the fourth chapter to the seventh chapter to see the next company that comes into heaven. And that's known as the innumerable multitude. And it's innumerable. And they are not in the midst of the throne. They're not. They're not the worshiping company. These four living ones, they're the worshipers and worshipers and so thankful to God. You'll read about them all the way through Revelation. You'll see them ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. They'll be occupying a place where they actually will be taking from him and with him. And casting out that judgment. Amen. That's what ruling and reigning jointly together with Christ means. It doesn't mean observing him do something. He wants us to be glorified together with him. Exalted to the same glory. That's Romans chapter 8. But here we have in chapter 7. You see the next company. And it's an innumerable multitude. And they have what? They have palms in their hands. They don't have crowns. Nope, they don't. And their song is salvation to our God. Thanks be to God. I'm grateful. But that's not the company that I know, not that only that I don't want to be in that company. I'm not called to be into that company. I have to reject what God has given me in Paul's gospel to end up in that company. Isn't that something? I go right back to Galatians 4:1. What child of God is not born Lord of all? There isn't one. They're all born that. You have to reject it not to grow up. But you can. As Paul said, I wanted to speak to you, but I have to speak to you as babes. Paul said later on to those saints, he said, you know what? There was a time you rejoiced in this gospel with me, but shame on you. You should even be teaching this gospel. And what have you done? You've gotten so far away from it. I've got to feed you now with milk and not with strong meat because you threw it away. It wasn't your first love. And I'm sorry but thankful to say, you know, the word of God is true. I've grown up, and it's not about this place. It's not about living waters. It's about this message that's called Paul's gospel. And I've grown up under this for 50-some years. And I've seen that truth. Ones that truly knew it. And I believe at a time really loved it. But when you don't see and fellowship with your first love, you forget. And that's what happens. And, you know, we don't need to take that place. But what we have here in Revelation 4 is we have that company, that scene taken up, the first company, right there in the midst of the throne. And let's go ahead and read verse 6. And it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Boy, did they have a vision. Amen. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, we're just going to stop there tonight. We only have a few hours, so I just want you to know. All right, I'm just kidding you, you know that. But now, let's go to the first one, wisdom. All right, wisdom. Do you know without wisdom, there's no chance for understanding? I've already quoted to you, and we've already thought about Galatians 4:1. If that child that is born Lord of all only wants to remain a child in that knowledge, even though he is Lord of all, he'll never have anything in the palace except the knowledge of a servant. And that's even though he could be ruling and reigning. That's all that one has taken. So you have that right there. Wisdom, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, is a must. And it's a must if the Lord of all is going to grow up. The Holy Ghost, was he given to lead us into some truth? He was given to us to lead us into all truth. We can grow up, praise God, but the only way we grow up is what? In grace and in what? And in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the wisdom of kings is what we're speaking here. As the word of God tells us, kings, it's the kings that search out a matter to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Traits of a king is that they love their sonship. They love being that son. They honor and cherish their royal heritage. They love their birthright. Do you love your birthright? Amen. Oh, I pray we do. Amen. Now, how perfectly we see here The first beast that is seen that we just read in Revelation 7 here was like a lion. Matthew describes Christ the king. Kings are wise. Yes, they are. They're grown up. Well, they should be. How God's heart was impressed with Solomon. Do you remember that? Solomon asked for wisdom, and what did God do? Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles. Let's read how God loved the request of wisdom that was upon Solomon's heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, Solomon says to God, he says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hath asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have ever been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." I believe that kind of sounds like me and you because of Paul's gospel. Praise be to God. He that wills to know will know. Amen. You really will to know. And you said, "Lord, I want to know. You called me to be. I'm born this Lord of all. But I know I need knowledge. I know I need to be taught. I need to be taught to grow up. To take this place. And oh, I'll tell you what. Upon that vessel of mercy, I'll bestow the riches of my glory." Isn't that beautiful? It's so marvelous. Thank you, Lord, for this wondrous word. And we can occupy till he come in it, can't we? Because of wisdom, what happened? He inherited the most ever. Because his heart knew wisdom and he wanted to know that wisdom, and his treasure exceeded all others. Let's go on over to Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. It says there, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not." Isn't that something? Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? You don't just get wisdom, get understanding, and say, "Okay, I got that." "Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not." That's wisdom. "And she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Isn't that beautiful? You see what a lover he is? Love that wisdom. Love that knowledge. That's who he is. He's wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee." Amen? Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. "She shall bring thee to honor." You have it. You have it. You've been born. But you'll never possess it until you know it. Amen. "When thou dost embrace her." See, isn't that something? "She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her." Kind of sounds like apprehend that which I'm apprehended of. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You mean that's in Proverbs too? Let me tell you something, honey. I'm just going to tell you again and again and again. Don't ever mark this Bible out. "Well, that's just this wisdom, and that's just that." This is God's word. Amen. And I'll tell you what's always been on God's heart, and the first and foremost thing is the bride. And He'd been just dreaming, preparing. And I'll tell you, this precious Solomon, he wrote those things for us. He wrote them for us. So it says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. And then we can look at many places, but let's go on over to Colossians. Look what Paul prayed for these folks. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 4, he comes in there and Paul says to him in verse 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Now this is mighty, beautiful. He's commending them in the truth and in the love and in the grace of God. Go down to verse 9. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So they had great faith. They had wonderful love for one another, but there was something that was needful, and it was all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I tell you, he was intense about this stuff, wasn't he? Because it's ours. This is what we've been called to. People ask about what is my purpose? What is my gift? Oh my! Stop. What could be greater than this crown? There's nothing to be compared. And I thank God he gives, and think of the gifts that he gives. What does he give them for? The church. Amen. Those gifts, they're for the church. Yes, and I'm in that body. It's for me. But as far as that gift, see, people think, well, I own that gift, and this is my gift, and I've got discernment, and I've got this, and I've got... You've got a problem. And that's a truth. But see, it hooks you because you feel important. Because, well, I've got it. Oh, my. You're important because he's got you. He's got you. And we're in him. And I'll tell you what. I thank God. And in him, every joint supplieth. Every joint. And every joint is vital. This body ain't complete without every single cell. You know that. Every bit of it, it wouldn't be complete. Thanks be to God. So, he says here, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And why do you need that? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. See, and it's the wisdom that'll make you all pleasing. Do you see that? It's the knowledge of him that'll make you all pleasing. He didn't say because you're going to go do this and do that to make your walk all pleasing. It's knowing me. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It all ties back to the same thing. It'll never vary. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God brings it right back again. The wisdom and the knowledge of God is vital for these saints to grow up. That's why Paul's epistles, it's always about that. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that word light, it means star. And as far as I know, a star is a sun. So we're talking sun glory here. And this is another verse, another sermon, and I'm just exploding right now because he showed me something again this last week in that thing and never ends, praise be to God. Paul's knowledge, even in Ephesians, he says it's Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So where this knowledge and this wisdom is going to come from is Paul's gospel. And he refers to that. And it's not, again, to magnify Paul, but it's to magnify the treasure in that vessel, the chosen vessel unto God, and this wonderful message that was given. And now let's just go on. Here is the result of receiving this fullness of wisdom and spiritual understanding that sees the love, knowing, that have this spirit and truth bubbling over. Go back to Revelation chapter 5. This is beautiful. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's 100 million. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." And I want you to understand this. The ones that are saying this are the 100 million angels. All right? And who are they around about? The throne, the beasts, and the elders. We're talking about the full overcomers, whether it was Old Testament or New. And you have these 100 million angels round about that, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Once you really think about that, the Lamb was receiving power and riches. The Lamb is already all powerful. The Lamb is already rich beyond. The Lamb is already all knowing. He couldn't receive in a sense. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that he was getting wisdom. He was receiving it because those 100 million that were around there were encouraged. He's received those that received all of his riches and glory and wisdom. Do you see that? Do you see that? Just read it for what it is. He's already all in all, but this is the all that he's receiving. These were the ones, praise be to God, that have that power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And he received them. Praise the Lord. It's just like as the four living ones, they're the ones that give him glory and honor. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's go to the second one. Righteousness. One of the most encouraging, uplifting verses in the Bible is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go on over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says there in verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thanks be to God." There it is. Hallelujah. Romans 3:25 assures us that righteousness came through the shedding of his blood. Once for all. The sacrifice. What was the second beast we read of tonight? The calf. The calf. The sacrifice. That calf slain outside the camp. Praise be to God. Righteousness. Hallelujah. The blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. So thankful to completely rely on the life of Christ. We've been made the very righteousness of God. He made me what he loves. He put me in Christ what he cherishes. And by faith in love, that beauty will be made manifest. And I thank God that beauty of that righteousness is even made manifest right now. Because you know what? As you begin to love that and cherish this in this wisdom and righteousness, what happens is there's a transformation that happens in your life. He begins to will and to do of his good pleasure in your life. It's because of him. And I thank God for this. And I'll tell you what. when that really transpires in your life, in that love, you'll be a willing vessel that will suffer together with him. Oh, yes, you will. You'll even be one of those that might even get to the point where you glory in your infirmities. For when I am weak, then the very power of Christ rests upon me. So thanks be to God. This is this righteousness. This is the second beast. This is the calf. Now next we go on is sanctification. And I'm loving the revelation of sanctification more and more. We understand very clearly here that sanctification truly in its height is a marriage. The wife is solely for the purpose of the husband. I'll tell you what, his goodly pearl, it's his and no one else's. And I love how Jesus Christ, he does it. He separates us unto him. The word of God has told us a long time back, we go unto him out from among the camp. See, he draws us. Isn't that beautiful? See, we don't make the move. It's him that's drawing us and then we move. See, it's the word of God on its own that leads me out. I don't go out first. I don't go out in my own strength. I hear him. I hear his voice. Then he causes this life to move. He brings me out from among the camp. Many times I know that as young Christians, we're going to somehow separate ourselves unto God. We go unto him and he separates us out. You see that? It's a big, huge difference. It's the word that will always do it. And I thank God in this sanctification, this is Christ the man. This is the third beast. This is the beauty of sanctification for glorification. This is all about, and brothers and sisters, I pray that we really know in our life, it's all about glory for him. The pinnacle of life and the life of Christ in me is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's really everything. I thank God that he encourages this way. The growth to full maturity, we need to rejoice in. And we rejoiced in it on Sunday, didn't we? We saw Sunday, and I think we've seen it before then, that Christ, praise God, do you know at his birth he was Savior? Oh, yes, he was Savior at birth. You know, that little fella, he was taken up in that Simeon's arms, and, you know, Simeon had been waiting. He was an old man. And he said, you know what? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Praise be to God. Now, come on, he was. Hallelujah, and is. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But I thank God that in that truth, we also know that beautiful conversation with God and his son. It's not good for man to live alone. And in that Christ not only had to be born a man to die, he had to grow up fully as a man to receive his full reward, his wife. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? You think about, we receive salvation the moment we accept Christ as Savior. Baby. Amen? But there's a growth that has to go forward. And we have to grow up fully to be prepared and ready to be that spouse. And I thank the Lord that in that, he gives us this here, that man. So it is here, Luke, Matthew, the lion, Mark, the calf, Luke, the man. Luke does not describe Christ as a baby, but as a man. Amen. That's Christ the man that Luke brings forth. And I love this because this third beast is not the face of a baby male. This third beast is the face of a man. A man that has been fully grown in maturity to be set apart for the master's use. Praise the Lord. So now we get to the last one, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and now redemption. I love that. The fourth beast soaring, the eagle. Hallelujah. And the eagle in Christ, and this is the way it always is with that eagle. When all things and everything seems overwhelmed, the eagle always overcomes. Praise God. It just goes higher. You think it's going to be swallowed up, and yet, boop, it pops out. I thank God for sweet Tammy, expressing to us, even in God's creation of an eagle, our natural eagles, they'll seek out the fiercest storms sometimes because they know the lift of those storms will take them higher than they could ever go on their own. Isn't that beautiful? Think of that. And it's the truth. I remember, and I'm sure Ty's had that experience before too, there's things called thermals. Sometimes you fly over the mountains. I remember being in that little Cessna one time, just beginning to fly. I was trying to go down. That thermal was still keeping me going up. Problem with the Cessna, it's not pressurized. You don't have oxygen in there. So after I started getting past about 14, 15,000 feet, I was going to say, Lord, you got to get me down. But that's lift. And let me tell you something. The overcomer always has lift. And the reason is because the wings are out, praise God. They spread them out. And it can be a dark time. It can be a very scary time. But every time those wings will go out, he'll take you higher. That's what faith is. And I thank God that we are growing in glory. And we're going higher. And I thank God that in going higher, you're growing out of the cares of this life. See, those are the weights that will always tie you and weight you down. We need to toss aside, to get rid of every weight by the grace of God. Our life and our mind needs to be set on the things above. And I thank God, then we go from glory to glory into his image. But let's talk about this redemption as we close this up. Do you know in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the day of our redemption is coming? Oh, I'm redeemed, but the day of my redemption's coming. Yeah. Let's go on over to Romans 8. Let's read about that redemption day. Romans 8, let's go on over to verse 23. Think of what it says here for us. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Are you groaning right now? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Oh, Jesus. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you what, we're going to get a body like unto his own glorious body. And see, the redemption that we have, sweethearts, is not just justified, but a reward is coming. A reward. A literal rapture. Redemption right out of this world is coming. But I thank God that this is what he's been made unto us now. And it must be experienced and taken now by faith. Taken flight out of the cares of this life. And how does that really happen? By taking this and being in remembrance of Paul's ways in Christ. This one that knows that, Lord, you have been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I mean, that's everything. It's everything. Fully provided. You talk about the provision of God. It's so beyond comprehension. It is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And all that life has to be fed is just the knowledge of it. The knowledge of it. And as that knowledge comes, I'll tell you what will happen is you'll grow in love with it. You'll grow in love. It'll separate you out. And praise be to God, oh my, what a redemption it'll be. And these are the ones that are taking into the heavenlies right now. I love it. The word of God tells us that we can have this complete salvation. Truly a salvation with eternal glory. And it's all in Christ. Praise his name. I pray that's been an encouragement to you tonight. And thank the Lord how here a little, there a little. Amen. Or line upon line and a precept upon precept. And I thank God that we can be aware of how we build and build upon the master builder. And once again, Paul. And I thank God that we can trust in this, can't we? And I'll tell you, as he builds that faith, there isn't anything more joyous. No matter what you face, no matter what you see, we call those things which be not as though they were. Praise be to God. Let's stand, be dismissed tonight. Thank you, Jesus.